CBSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor. Chips, the high end of microchip semiconductor business, a headline from the London Financial Times requiring interpretation. Netherlands and Japan join U.S. in restricting chip exports to China. I welcome Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and friend, to help me understand this story, which looks like restrictions of free trade. Protectionism is the old word for it. But it has to do with the Chinese military and advanced weaponry. And given the general opinion that China is preparing for aggressive attacks, something like Ukraine, but much more violent, paying attention to microchips is one way to put pressure on the Chinese regime not to attack, I believe. Gordon, a very good evening to you. It says here, deal marks significant step in Washington's efforts to limit rivals' efforts to develop its semiconductor industry. My memory of what you've taught me is that China has failed over these years to build a high-end chip-making industry, both the chips themselves and the tools and machinery that make those chips. They've imported or borrowed or leased or stolen what they've needed. This present regime that's being constructed with high-level talks, including the United States, is it expected to be more successful than restrictions on China in the past about chips? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I think this will be successful because there's only a certain number of companies that make the chips and the chip-making equipment that China needs. So, for instance, they need the tools. And there's one Dutch company, ASML, that makes these machines, extreme ultraviolet lithography. And although it's difficult to control the sale of chips, it is much easier to control the more important thing, which are these chip-making equipment. So the tools, I think, are critical. And that's why the Netherlands are part of this deal, because of ASML.
There is a sense in the article, you have to almost read between the lines, that the limited number of comments, the no, we'll call you back on this, has to do with some anxiety about China. Does Europe feel, does the Netherlands feel, does Japan feel, do the private companies in the United States and in Taiwan, do they feel that China is going to retaliate, can retaliate?
China has a history of at least threatening to retaliate, and especially since they identified themselves as being important to global supply chains. Since the end of the first decade of this century, they have purposefully tried to use their positions in manufacturing to obtain geopolitical goals. But recently, there's been a lot more of these threats to boycott. And so, therefore, Europe has actually been intimidated because a lot of those threats have been directed at places like Lithuania. And so countries like the Netherlands have been, in fact, cowered.
Did I say correctly, Gordon, remembering from maybe more than 2 years ago, that China has poured a great deal of money into developing its own high-end chip-making business and has thrown around a lot of development capital in cities like Wuhan, for example, and has not been successful so far, has abandoned the effort? I can't remember the end of that story.
Well, it's not been successful. It's poured by now hundreds of billions of dollars into companies, and they've been able to develop some capability, but only capability making what are, you know, known as the legacy chips, the commodity stuff. They have not been able to make sophisticated chips. And so they haven't abandoned the effort. They're probably going to pour more money into it, but they are having these difficulties.
And the difficulties are also part of this story, because the Wall Street Journal is reporting something that looks alarming. China's top nuclear weapons lab used American computer chips decades after ban. The subhead, state-owned institute, continued buying Intel and NVIDIA-made chips. That's the really good stuff. Despite inclusion on a U.S. exports blacklist in 1997. So more than 25 years, China's managed to bypass, violate in some fashion, get a hold of the chips it needs in its weapons lab. Does that suggest that this present boycott or protectionism or restriction is also going to fail?
It's not going to fail, John. It makes it much more difficult for China to develop and buy chips. It slows them down. The Wall Street Journal story was particularly interesting because it dealt with, as you said, with the 1997 inclusion of the Chinese Academy of Engineering Physics on the Commerce Department's entity list. In other words, no American company can deal with that academy unless they get a license from the Commerce Department, which, of course, is not forthcoming. But we're talking about chips, and chips are hard to control because although we have some ability to prevent the sales to parties we don't like, you got to remember that once chips get sold to the first party, they can get sold to second and third parties, and that's hard to track down. So, yeah, I'm not surprised that China's nuclear weapons are aided by American chips, but we can make it very difficult for China, and especially with more attention on the issue, we'll make it even more difficult.
Suggested in this Wall Street Journal story is that China didn't get this by putting money on the table and walking out of the room. This is either smuggling or espionage or sabotage or thievery, maybe all of the above. Is that something that can be controlled, Gordon, or is it just the price of doing business in the world today that China will steal?
Well, China will steal, and it is extraordinarily difficult to control the chips, especially after they get beyond the first purchaser, as I mentioned. But this is, you know, never been trying to prevent 100% of these chips from getting into China. It is to make it more difficult for China to do this, and more important, to slow them down, because we will slow them down, and we will be significantly be able to do that, especially if we put the people power into the Commerce Department and other branches of the federal government that track all of this stuff.
Within these last days, within these last hours, China has officially reopened after the Lunar New Year. The question is this reopening what is regarded as a reemergence of the Chinese economy? The numbers suggest that China has plunged in GDP and has not reversed that plunge. It's got property problems. It certainly has health problems. So, Gordon, looking at China right now, it doesn't look extremely healthy. Is the chip business an exception here? Are they seeking these chips, the lab chips, for example, quite separate from their general economy, the consumer economy? I'm trying to judge what China's doing right and what they're doing wrong when the difference between high-end chip making and selling soap.
Yeah, what we're talking about with the high-end chips are generally for China's weapons effort and also for China's effort to develop quantum computing and artificial intelligence and the rest of it. What you talked about in terms of general economy is just sort of commodity businesses. And yes, China is suffering because although they said they grew 3.0% last year, they really didn't, as our friend Ann Stephenson Yang has pointed out. And we got to remember to put that in context because in 2021, they said they grew 8.4%. So it's 8.4 down to a claimed 3.0, but probably negative. And they're going to have a hard time this year opening because the disease is not left China alone yet. This is going to be a very long and bumpy process to open up China.
The charm offensive, so-called, is it working, Gordon? Do our allies in Europe believe it, that you can do business with China?
Well, the allies in Europe certainly do, especially Germany. But China's lost a lot of friends. And although they will be able to charm people for a little while, I don't think it's going to have much of an effect because we have seen the nasty side of China for quite some time. And, you know, turning on the charm on a dime doesn't really impress most national security experts.
Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, writing at Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill, and other distinguished publications. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.